chapter 2. And we're going to read a few verses over there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through verse number 4. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's pray. Father, I do want to thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy, your grace. Just keeping us safe in the storm. There's been a lot of damage. There's been a lot of destruction. But Lord, I look around and I see there's been a lot of your mercy. And Lord, although it's been as bad as it is, and still a lot of people without power and things, Lord, it could have been much, much worse. So we're meeting together and thankful today. Thankful for what you've done. And Father, thankful for your protection over our lives. And dear God, thankful for lights and air conditioning, things like that. We can meet together in comfort this morning. Be with those that are still without. And I pray for those that are out working. And dear Lord, I pray that you would that you'd bless the message this morning. I pray you'd speak to our hearts and help us. As we've been thinking about this great subject, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would just make it easy this morning. Give liberty to preach thy word. Thank you for every blessing you've given us. Speak to our hearts and help us as only you can. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back and read verse number 4 one more time. Notice what the Bible says. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if we talk about the illustration of a soldier in the Bible, we talk about Christian terminology and how we phrase things, how we say things. It is very common to use the language of military, soldier, warfare, battle, things of that nature. It's something that we wouldn't think anything of. It's our hymns that we sing. A lot of the songs that we sing, I remember being in Vacation Bible School growing up, and every time we would march in, to the song, "Onward Christian Soldier." We talk about, there's songs about holding the fort, and just songs about warfare in general incorporated into the language and the hymnology of the Christian's life. Spiritual warfare is a subject that is frequently talked about. People talk about it. You hear it taught about. You hear it preached about. If I was to talk to this morning, if I was to say something about fighting the good fight of faith, or if I was to talk this morning about using our swords, nobody would bat an eye at that. Nobody would think, you know, that we've suddenly gone violent all of a sudden. We talk about, as Christians, many times we talk about our weapons. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But when we as Christians are talking about weapons, we are not talking about guns and knives and bombs. We're talking about things like prayer. We're talking about things like having faith in God. We're talking about our Bible. We're talking about things of that nature. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Not things that you use with your hands, but we're talking about, when we talk about that, we're talking about spiritual things. The missionary last Sunday, he brought a great message on the subject of the Christian's armor. And he talked about the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the gospel shoes and all of those things. The Apostle Paul, especially when we read in the Bible, his writings, he was not a military man, but his writings are full of military references. If you know anything about the life of the Apostle Paul, you know that there were times in his life he was close to the military. He was close to soldiers because he was imprisoned for his faith, and many times he found himself chained to a Roman soldier. So we could say, you know, he was close to the military. He had ties to the military, but he was not a military individual. He's not a soldier. He was not a general or anything like that, but it seems to me like as I read and study about the life of the Apostle Paul that everywhere he turned there was a soldier. And it seems like that when he saw these soldiers, there was just something about them, their manner, their discipline, their different way of life that caused the Apostle Paul to meditate and to consider and to say things like, you know, that is just like in the Christian's life. You know, he drew a lot of comparisons. He made a lot of analogies that he used the Christian's armor. And like it's talking about here, being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so I want to try to preach today on the subject simply this, a soldier's life. We begin to think about some of the things of what it means to be a soldier. And I want to begin this morning by pointing out and talking about the soldier's life. I want to say this, number one, the soldier's life is a select life. Now if you look there in verse number 4, the Bible says this, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. It's talking about somebody here that has been chosen to be a soldier. That word chosen there, it means to select. And when you select something, you're making a decision. You're making a choice about something. So the soldier's life is a select life. I got to studying about that word select and what it means. The word select, it comes from a Latin word. The word we get our word Lego from. How many of your children growing up, they, or maybe even now today, they play with Legos? That's where that word comes from. The word Lego, it means this. It means to pick and choose and gather from a number. And so you think about sitting down playing with Legos and you're going to build a little man or a little house and you got them all strewn out there in front of you. And what do? You pick and you choose and you build your house, you build your farm, whatever you're building on. You choose from those Legos. You select. You got something in mind that you're trying to build. And of course, they wouldn't be Legos if your children didn't leave some out to be discovered in the middle of the night by walking on them barefooted. Well, that'll make you praise the Lord. There's nothing hurts as bad as a Lego on a bad foot, on a bare foot. But that's where that word comes from, the word Lego. In the Greek language, it's this word. It's the word stratologio. Think about strategy with Legos. That's what the word select comes from or is in the Greek language. It means this. It means to gather or select as a warrior. Now, when you think about being a soldier, you got to think about it from both sides. Sometimes you choose the life of a soldier, and sometimes the life chooses you. What I mean by that, even in our own military here in America for years and years, in fact, from 1940 to 1973, our military had what was called the draft. You know, that covered three different wars, World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. And many, many people in our country, in fact, 10 million men over that time period received a letter in the mail and said, guess what? You've been selected. You've been chosen. Your plans are now interrupted. You are going to be a soldier. See, that life chose some people. And so they were drafted into the military and they became a soldier or an airman, or they became a marine, or they became a sailor, something like that. And sometimes the life chooses you. But on the other hand, sometimes you choose that life. Our military today is made up of an all-volunteer force. I don't even know if they... You know, used to, they, if somebody got in trouble, they might say, well, you're either going to jail or you're going to the army. I don't know if they even do that anymore, but now they used to. But our military today is made up of all volunteers, people that chose that kind of life, people that decided that that is what they wanted to do, and so they signed up of their own accord. Sometimes a soldier's life chooses you. Sometimes you might choose that life. But either way, there's been a selection, there's been a decision there that has been made. If you study about in the Bible, the armies of Israel, Israel had requirements to be in the army or to go to war. That's what it talks about in the Bible. In the Bible, it talks about he that goeth to warfare. And so their military was made up of their own ranks, and they had in the army of Israel, if you study in the book of Numbers, chapter number 26, they had age requirements. You had to be at least 20 years old. If you think about the different famous armies in the Bible, you think about the army that Gideon had. You remember Gideon went into battle, the sword of the Lord, and Gideon had some requirements to be in his army. You know, before they gave the, I would call this maybe a skill, had to pass a skill. And they went down there and he told them to get a drink of water. And the ones that lapped like a dog, you know, they sent them back home. And the ones that got the water in their hands and drank it that way, that was his army. They had to pass a test to be in his army. And that took their numbers way down from what it was. But do you know, before that test, that Gideon just made an announcement, if anybody's afraid, you can go home. I think that's a pretty good test. If you don't want to be here, we don't want you here, why don't you just go on home? You see, they had some famous armies in the Bible that you read about. Sometimes you choose the life, and sometimes the life chooses you. I was reading over there about Nehemiah. Nehemiah had an army. Nehemiah didn't go back to get in a fight. Nehemiah didn't go back to Jerusalem to go to war. Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to build the walls around Jerusalem. And what Nehemiah was interested in was carpenters and stonemasons and craftsmen and people that can contribute to the building up of the walls. He wanted some people that could move some rubbish out of the way, some people that just get in there and work. But while they were in there working on that great project for the Lord to build the walls back around Jerusalem, they found that the enemy came and tried to hinder them. Isn't that just how life is? I mean, why can't the world just leave us alone, let us do something for God? But many times we find the enemy comes along and tries to hinder, tries to stop, tries to interrupt the work of God, and those that had come and give their time and their effort to lay rock and to build doors and things like that, they found that they had to have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. The soldier's life chose them. It's a select life. It's not for everybody. Everybody does not make it. Everybody is not interested in it. But whether you're interested or not, sometimes it chooses you. Now, I want to say this morning, talking about this, if you're saved by the grace of God, guess what? You're in the Lord's army. It comes with the territory. That is why that so many times we find ourselves as Christians, we find ourselves talking about a fight, talking about a battle, talking about wrestling against things, talking about the sword, talking about the Christian's armor, talking about all of these things. You are in the Lord's army. And our desire as the people of God ought to be what we find in verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. I want to be a good soldier. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Our desire in verse number 4 ought to be to please Him who had chosen us to be a soldier. Do you want to be pleasing to the Lord? Do you want to be a good soldier? That ought to be our desire this morning. Now, a lot of people, they might protest. They might say, you know, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not interested in this soldiering stuff. I'm not interested in fighting. I'm not interested in battling. I'm not interested in struggling. I'd rather just leave the devil alone and him leave me alone. See, the enemy doesn't operate like that. The enemy attacks. But I've got good news for you this morning. Everybody that goes in the army doesn't make out to be a ranger. All of them are not in the Green Berets. If you're in the Air Force, all of them don't fly planes. You'd be amazed how many people think if you were in the Air Force that you flew planes. There's a whole lot more things to do rather than just fly planes. That has to be done. Not everybody goes and fights on the front line every day. It takes a whole lot of other things, like Legos, selecting out, choosing out. There's all kinds of parts and pieces to being in an army. Some are cooks. Some are drivers. Some are in administration. Some are dentists and doctors and nurses. And some are good at training others. And that's all they do. They train somebody else how to do a certain job. That's what it's talking about here in verses 1 and 2. If you look at it, Paul is writing to Timothy. And one of his main jobs that he gives unto him is to train other men. Look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That is a huge part of being in the Lord's army, is just simply this: training others, raising up others, teaching them how to do, what to do, when to do, all of those things. We can't forget that this morning. There's a lot to be done. You may not be on the front line every day, but it does not matter what branch of the service you're in. It doesn't matter what your day-to-day job is. Here's one thing they all will have in common. They will all know how to fight a little bit. See, my daily job when I was in the military, I never carried a rifle a day in my whole time. But they taught us how to shoot one. And it doesn't matter if you're the cook in the kitchen. It doesn't matter if your responsibility is to run the gas station on base. There's a few basic things that you're going to be taught and trained and know how to do. In an emergency, you're going to know how to get a rifle and use a rifle and fight and shoot and use that if you need to. And it's the same thing in the Lord's army. You may not be on the front lines every day, but you need to know how to be in this battle. You need to know about the Christian's armor. You need to know about faith. You need to know about the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, because there's a great many battles, and you may not be in one today, but you may be in one tomorrow. And you're going to need to know how to fight, because you're in the Lord's army. When you got saved by the grace of God, you got put in the Lord's army. And so the soldier's life is a select life. Sometimes you choose the life. Sometimes the life chooses you. But whether you are drafted or whether you're volunteered, you know what? Once you get in, it doesn't matter. You're all in it together. It's a select life. I go on this morning, number 2. It's a surrendered life. Now, I'm taking some time on this morning because it was either preach real fast on about 15 things or just slow down and try to get across a few things. And I'm going to slow down and try to get across a few things about that this morning. But the soldier's life is not only a select life, it is a surrendered life. Now, when I was a little boy, I loved to play army. Anybody else like that? You like to play army? I like to play anything besides work. Now my brother didn't have a childhood. Because my brother, all he's ever been interested in is working all the time. And of course, I'm on the other end, and all I want to do is play all the time. And so when I wanted a motorcycle, he wanted a tractor. When I wanted to build a treehouse, he wanted to plant a patch of tobacco. That's how he was. He's wired that way. But now, I like to play army, and I like to play ball, and I like to play anything. But well, I used to love to play army, and we'd just be out there, and it didn't matter what it was, if it sticks and rocks, or we'd bought a little plastic gun at the store or whatever, and we had helmets and uniforms. I remember one time for Christmas, we got that, and little plastic guns, and man, just loved to get out there and just play army. We'd have a ball playing army and pretending like we're shooting and all of those things. And then as a teenager, I of course grew out of that, but I became interested in reading books about Vietnam. And I don't know how many books that I've read about that time period. And I mean about snipers and Carlos Hathcock and some of these legends and all these things. I just love to read about stuff like that. And I just spend hours and hours. I remember I would go out and jog and run and kept my hair short. And I remember, some of you remember in the 80s when that movie Top Gun came out and Tom Cruise, you remember that? Don't act like you've never seen that. Oh, I don't know what the preacher's talking about. I'm so sanctified, I've never saw a movie. You know what I'm talking about. And he had them real cool fighter pilot glasses on. I remember when that movie came out, I got me some of them glasses. But you know, all that talk and all that play and all that knowledge and all that exercise and things like that, in all of that, I was not in the military. You're not in the military until you do two things. You got to sign on the dotted line and you got to swear in. I want to say this morning that there is a great many people out here that like to talk the talk and talk about the army and talk about the past wars and talk about history and maybe even dress up in a uniform and you know, they are all gung-ho about military things. And I mean, there's people out there, if a jet flew over, they could tell you what it was, where it come from. They know all the different helicopters. That's a news helicopter. That's a tourist. That's a Chinook. That's this and that's that. And they know all about that stuff. Just talking about it and knowing about it doesn't make it so in your life. Do you know it's the same thing in the Christian's life? It's the same thing about being a Christian life. To have a soldier's life, a soldier's life is a surrendered life. And in order to be a soldier, there has to come a time of signing on the dotted line and swearing in. When you swear in, you go into a room and an official comes in there and they have a Bible, and I guess they still do that. They did when I swore in, but we'd all signed on the dotted line, but we still weren't in yet. They said, you got to be sworn in. We all went into this room, and there was a flag, and there was a Bible, and there was an official at the front, and he said, everybody stand up, and you know, he said, place your hand in the air, and symbolizing placing your hand on the Bible, and repeat after me. You're surrendering yourself when you do that. From that moment on, you are no longer your own. But you don't become Uncle Sam's until you do that. And I think about that. I think about the comparison to the Lord's army or the Christian life. In order to live the soldier's life that we're talking about in the Bible this morning, you got to be saved first of all. There's a multitude of people out here in the world and in America that will talk about being a Christian, But the only reason they claim to be a Christian is because they're not a Jew and they're not a Muslim and they're not an atheist. So they associate with being a Christian. But just associating with being a Christian is not the same that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about when He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You got to be saved. You got to be born again. You have to have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ where He comes into your heart, into your life. You've repented of your sin. You place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if you don't have that, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. You've not surrendered to the Lord. Just being born in America doesn't make anybody a Christian. Having a good godly grandma or grandpa that went to church, that doesn't make you a Christian. You got to surrender yourself, your own heart, your own life to the Lord Jesus Christ. They did some basic things you got to do or you're not a Christian. You're not saved. You know, the first thing the Lord asks us to do when we follow Him in belief, when we are saved by the grace of God, and this is universal in the Bible, is to be baptized. I think that sometimes we as Baptists forget about what the Bible says about being baptized. But do you know the first thing in the early church after somebody received Christ as their Savior? The first thing they did was to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. In the book of Acts chapter number 2 and verse 41, the Bible said this, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized." They received the word of the gospel. They received the gospel by faith. And being a new creature in Christ, the first thing they did, they were baptized. They were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now when it says they were added unto them, that was the church at Jerusalem. They were baptized. They became members of that local church. I look around today and I see the many different churches and how they operate, and I'll just say this morning, I really don't know what to say about unbaptized, unassociated believers. What I mean, unassociated with a local church. If you study about the church in the Bible, all the churches in the Bible were local churches. When they got saved, they got baptized, they were added to that local church. They became members together in that local church. But in this day and time, we have a lot of rogue Christianity. They're not baptized, they're not associated, they're not committed to a local church. They're just, I don't know what they are. But they're not scriptural. You don't find that type of Christianity in the Bible. I'm talking about the soldier's life. I'm talking about if you're going to be in the Lord's army, you're going to have to be in the Lord's church. And if you're not in the Lord's church, if you're not in the local church, I don't know what that is. Because I don't find it in the Bible. Jesus loved the church. He gave Himself for the church. Ephesians chapter number 4 talks about the gifts to the local church that He gave pastors, evangelists, teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ that we might be built up. Everything God does in the world, everything the Lord does in the world is through the church. The church is very, very important. So if you're going to be in the Lord's army and really experience what it is to live a soldier's life, you got to be saved. You have to be baptized. I mean, that's the first thing the Lord says. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And if you won't do that, will you do anything else? Just a simple little thing that represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is us publicly saying, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus. I'm going to be like Him. I'm swearing in.
I'm going to follow the Lord. That's what we're doing when we are baptized. We're saying I'm associating with the Lord in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I'm talking about surrendering ourselves. If a person won't do that, how could you trust they would do anything else? Would you want to go to war with somebody that said they were in the military and maybe they carried a gun and maybe they were around all the time, but they'd never sworn in? They'd never signed their life on the dotted line and said, I'm with you. And we're all in this thing together. Would you want to go into battle with them? You might have some reservations. Because you had done something that they had not done. That you have to do in order to get in. You can't get in. Now, I'm not talking about going to heaven. But I'm talking about in the church. You can't get in without being baptized. That's the only way. And it's a strange thing, isn't it? Why would the Lord ask us to go get all wet and get in the water and covered up over our heads in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? I admit, it's a strange thing. But the military does a whole lot of other strange things, and you do that without question. I don't know why you have to stand in line with your toes touching somebody else's heels. But you just do it. The Lord has said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. When we become members of the Lord's church, we covenant together. We agree together. Do you realize that? Why is it important, preacher? We're covenanting together. Making a covenant together. That we're going to work together for the Lord's work in this world. That's what it says on the wall. And all of this is scriptural. Having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God in this assembly most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. So we're coming together just like an army unit, just like soldiers would come together. And we're saying, you know, we're in this thing together. We covenant together. That means we made a promise, not just to the Lord, but to each other. We're in this thing together. It's a select life. It's a surrendered life. It's a dedicated life. The Apostle Paul, first words, first thing that come out of his mouth after he got saved, he said this in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? That's a good way to start out, isn't it? I just got saved. I just saw the light. I just receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He sees the world in a whole different fashion now. And the first thing Paul says, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's the same man that wrote later on to the Romans and he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Dedicate your life. I served with some men and some women, they weren't very dedicated. That makes it hard on everybody. The Lord's interested in everybody being dedicated. That makes it easier on everybody. A good soldier, if we look back here in the book of 2 Timothy where we were reading some things about a good soldier is not entangled with the affairs of this life. Most people in the military are not running little businesses on the side. They don't have time for that. They got to be involved in their work. They're not entangled with the affairs of this life. A good soldier is surrendered. A good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ is surrendered unto Him. You know, we sing that song, All to Jesus I Surrender. All to Him I Freely Give. Well, there's a lot of meat in that song. There's a lot of message in that song. It's a select life. It is a surrendered life. Last of all this morning, it is a sacrificial life. There's a lot of sacrifice involved in soldiers' lives, airmen's life, marines' life, sailors' lives. It's a sacrificial life. I was thinking about, and I've used this scripture before, and Preacher Mark preached out of it. Preacher Mark Hodges a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night. Luke chapter number 9 and what the Bible says over there. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You see, there's a lot of sacrifice. We talk about sometimes our military and the sacrifices that are made. And unless you've been involved or been around, you may not think about, you may not realize or understand the extreme sacrifices that are made to be a soldier, to be in the military. It's a lot of sacrifice. I think about when I joined the Air Force, and I didn't know anything much about it, but the hardest thing I've ever done, I think, in my life was just simply this, saying bye to everybody. You know, I just turned 18 years old, and I joined the military, and the day came for me to go away, and I'm telling you, that was hard. I went to church. The preacher got me up in front of everybody at the end of the service and said, we're all going to come around, shake hands with Wynn before he leaves. Man, that was hard. It was hard to say bye to my family when I left. I was engaged to get married, and I remember that Kim and I, the house she grew up in, right up the road up here, we went out in the yard and sat down on the bank and just bawled like babies. I bawled like a baby. I cried. It's a scary thing. Just saying bye to everybody. Leaving everybody. That's a sacrifice. Not to mention all the other things. When you leave, when you join, when you sign on the dotted line, you are literally forsaking. You are leaving. Your friends, your family. Now you think about this morning. I'm talking about following the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's more important? Your friends, your family, your future. Nobody that joins knows what lies out there. All they know, they've signed their name on the dotted line. They're going to go where they're told and do what they're told. You've signed away your future into somebody else's care. You've signed away your fortune. You leave your job. You leave your means of making money here. You've put that in the hands of somebody else. Can you see how that corresponds to following the Lord Jesus Christ? My friends, my family, my fortune, my future, all of these things. Now the Lord said, if any man will save his life, he'll lose it. But if he'll lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it again. But you got to come to the point where you say, Lord, here it is. Here's all of it. And you know what? The Lord might turn around and give it all back. But you got to give it to him first. Lord, here's all of it. Many that go... make the ultimate sacrifice. They never come back. They give their life while in service to our country. It's happened thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Happens still every day. Somebody dies and nobody even notices except a little community somewhere. The Bible said, and here's another comparison that you might could make. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse number 13, the Lord Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Somebody sacrificed. The Lord Jesus laid down his life for us. We're called to lay down our lives for one another. It's a sacrificial life. There's a lot of sacrifice involved in a soldier's life. I read a story just a while back. It wasn't too long ago about a missionary and his wife. His name is Reese Howells, and he was born in Wales and lived over there. But he and his wife, God called them to go to Africa in the early 1900s. A dangerous time, a dangerous thing to do anything like that. But God called them to go to Africa, and they had a little 5-year-old boy. And they left that boy in the charge of somebody else's care while they went to Africa for 2 or 3 or 4 years. Can you imagine that? I read that book and I stopped and I went back and I thought about that. I thought about my own children. Could I leave my children to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing I may never come back? Going to get on a boat, going to get on a ship, going to go somewhere far, a far and foreign place. Could I do that for the Lord? Could I do that for the gospel's sake? You talk about a sacrifice. There's a lot of sacrifices that are made in order to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to take up our cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about it's a sacrificial life. You know, when it talks about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I'm not preaching on being a bad soldier, but by inference, if there's such thing as a good soldier, there's such thing as a bad soldier. I want to be a good soldier. I wonder sometimes if we compare our lives to a soldier's life. A lot of us can't make it far past 12. I'm just being honest. I'm looking in your eyeballs this morning. I'm seeing them getting real heavy. You know, when I was in the military and we were in class and they were up instructing us, the cardinal sin was to fall asleep while they was talking. I am so nice and kind, you don't even know. You think, oh, the preacher's loud. You ought to sit in one of their classes. You talk about embarrassing the fool out of you. Come up and kicking your chair out from under you. Make you go to the back and stand up. I wish people would do that in church. If you get sleepy, just get up, go to the back and stand there. It'd be far better than looking into blank eyeballs. Maybe paint some eyes on your eyelids sometime. Try that. I don't know. Man, that's disheartening. I know you're tired. I know you're sleepy. We live that way. But I wonder for good soldiers. Many in the Lord's army can't make it out Sunday night. Many more can't make it back Wednesday night. I'm talking about sacrificial. I'm talking about making something a priority in our lives, forsaking some things in our life, not entangling ourselves with the affairs of this life. Oh, I can't get back. Now, I know sometimes you can't. But I know this, a lot of times you could if you wanted to. People can do what they want to do. We live in a free country. Nobody twists our arms. And people can just do what they want to do. Nobody really makes us do anything. We just pretty much do what we want to do. You know, it makes it better when we take our what I want to do and use it for the Lord. Because we have a choice. We have a choice what we're going to do. It's a select life. It's a surrendered life. And it is a sacrificial life. Paul told Timothy there, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I wonder if we ask ourselves the question this morning, what kind of soldier would I be? Would I be considered a good soldier? Just thinking about these few things this morning. Or by inference, would I have to say, well, you know, I'm not much of a soldier. But the Lord's good. He sends instruction along our way to help us become a good soldier. That's what Paul was doing with Timothy. He was instructing him how to be a good soldier. How to please the one that had chosen him. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.